Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
These young men's willingness to come tonight and to share with us a little bit about the mission trip and hopefully give you an opportunity to see things from their perspective. And really thankful for those two guys, for Chase Butterfield, for Christian Harrison, their willingness to do that. I'm excited to get to speak with you tonight and kind of going to do something a little different tonight. I want to go through and share with you a little bit about our mission trip that we just returned back from in July, and share with you about the work that we did, and just kind of ask these guys here if they would kind of share with you some things that they learned or that they gained from our trip. And towards the end of tonight, I'd like to share some of you the things that I learned and things that I saw on this trip as well. And just want to, I don't know if this is the most appropriate time, but being up here tonight, I just wanted to just basically say how awesome it is to be a part of the Graymere family. How awesome it is to be a part of Graymere. And my family absolutely loves being a part of this congregation. And I thank you for your love and your encouragement, the example that you all set. And I just wanted to say that in a public way of how much we've come to love and appreciate you all. As we go tonight, I want to tell you a little bit about the places that we were able to visit and hopefully show you some slides, just some pictures and things like that. And I don't want to show you too much and border on being boring or anything like that any more than I normally am. But just want to show you some pictures and hopefully give you an idea of what we were able to accomplish and the work that our young people were able to put into this trip. Personally, I love taking kids on mission trips because there's so many things that can be gained. To get to see them be in that environment, to get to see them work and to do those things, it's really exciting for me to get to do that. Because more than anything, I know that this is something that we all face, but maybe more so when you're a teenager. When you have the opportunity to go on a mission trip, you have the opportunity to realize that there is a world that exists beyond ourselves. And I do think it's not just an age thing. I think we all struggle with that sometimes. But it's amazing to see, as Chase said, as Christian were able to share with us, when you go to actually to see that you should be thankful for what you have, because not everyone in this world has the things that we have or is in the family situation that we are or has the home life that we do. And so that is always exciting to see. This trip was unique in the fact that we actually traveled to two different places. We spent 2 days at Happy Haven Children's Home. And then we spent 1 day at Potter Children's Home working for them, and I'll kind of explain some of that as we go on. So that was exciting to do that. Our first stop was in Cookeville, Tennessee at Happy Haven Children's Home. This children's home is right now the administrator is Houston Bynum, who was with us sometime a while back, and hopefully you had the chance to meet him. But it's a neat, neat place to get to go and see. Kind of tell you a little bit about the history of it. It was dreamed up in the mid-60s by the Willow Avenue Church of Christ. It actually began as an orphanage. And now they've kind of evolved a little bit. They're overseen by the Jefferson Avenue Church of Christ in Cookeville, and they focus more on helping girls who are in a distressed situation or living in a difficult family situation. We had an opportunity to get to meet several of the girls who are residents there, and they spent all day Wednesday working with us, and that was really exciting to get to spend time with them, and so I thought that was really good. Happy Haven does not receive any funds from the state. In fact, they said that 66% of their income comes from Churches of Christ, just like Graymere. The rest of that income would come from the families of the girls who would actually be staying there, which is sometimes difficult because some of them can't afford it. And so they, I tell you that to kind of say they're dealing with some limited funds as far as what they're trying to do and to be able to teach Christ to these girls and to have that kind of environment. So they're dealing with limited funds on that. I really want to share that with you just because as you think about that, whenever they're trying to invest the money that they have into helping these young girls to have a better life, to help teach them the Bible and to get them back in a better family situation, when you spend all your money on those things, sometimes it's difficult to take care of things that are just kind of like daily things, housekeeping kind of things, things just around your facilities and things like that. And so going to Happy Haven, we realized very quickly that there were a lot of things that they want to do, just little odds and ends around their place just to make it look better, to make more functional and things like that, that they really just haven't had the money to do or the manpower to do. And so we honed in on some of those things. Jonathan and I had the opportunity to go, and we kind of left. They asked us to put these posts in, and we left the post up, and the hope is that at some point we might be able to go back and actually build a fence to enclose where the dumpster's going to be and put a gate and things like that on it. So that was a major project, and it took almost the whole 2 days just for this group to be able to do that. Bobby Bishop again went along with us and was able to. They had a lot of outside electrical things that didn't pass code and just wires kind of laying on the ground and things that looked like they probably wouldn't go over real well. And so Bobby was able to lend his expertise and to redo a lot of the electrical for us. And so I know they were thankful for that. This is house number one, another project that Josh and Kara kind of headed up while we were there, and they landscaped house number one. And again, this is the very first thing you see when you pull into this place. And so when you look at it, they basically had zero landscaping out there. And so I don't know that I have a finished product picture in here, but they were able to mulch all that and put plants in, and I know that they were thankful for that. We painted like everything we could possibly paint. They wanted us to paint it John Deere green for some reason, so we painted like everything there John Deere green. But numerous swing sets, basketball goals and things like that. We slapped a lot of paint throughout the week. And here's a picture of Jim. Jim brought this little bitty tractor with him, and Jim was able to clear off. There's just tons of like piles of debris in places, and he was able to clear that off and drag a bunch of trees off. And I think all the people moving rocks fell in love with Jim before the week was up, because he was able to scoop some of those rocks up and just move them and save them just a little bit of trouble in that. So we were thankful for that. Probably the most important job that there was all week long, Greg and Tab Philpott headed up for us, and that was keeping us fed, which I thought was really important to do. And they did a great job of keeping us fed, keeping us hydrated, making us lunch, and bringing water around, things like that. And when you have a crew the size that we had, that's a pretty big job. So we were thankful for them in doing that. And this was kind of the last day at Happy Haven. This kind of sums it up when I saw this picture. This kind of tells you that obviously they must have done something. Even Garrett did something and found the shade underneath Jim's trailer there and took him a little nap. This is a picture you can see. Some of the girls you recognize just from here at Graymere. Some of the girls you may not. These are some of the girls that were at Happy Haven. And, it was really awesome to get to work with them, to get to know some of them and to hear their stories and why some of them were there. And they're really neat girls to get to know. And we were thankful for that opportunity. And hopefully we were able to encourage them in some way just by being there. This is one of the house moms and the girls there. And like I said, they were excited. And the day that we left, it was really great. They all ran outside and they all had signs up that said thank you and how much they appreciate us coming there. And that was, I know that meant a lot to our kids. Potter Children's Home, again, we went there on Friday. And it's a little bit different story. I'll tell you a little bit about Potter Children's Home. It's kind of a complete opposite of what you see at Happy Haven, but nonetheless a place that we were able to do some good things. It's located in Bowling Green, Kentucky. They were established in 1914. And they do a lot of different things. They provide foster care, Christian counseling. They provide help to single parents. They also help those in the age range of 18 to 23 to help them to kind of get into college and to graduate college and to transition in life. They have a maintenance staff there, and there's several people on it. And they had a maintenance manager who we worked with. And the difference is you can see that their maintenance staff is able to do a lot of the bigger jobs. Like the things at Happy Haven that they needed us to do, those kind of things at Potter were just taken care of. But the thing at Potter that we noticed were there are a lot of like the really small things that would kind of just go unnoticed or that would just kind of be thought of as a last effort job. Those are the things that we were able to do there. And they had all that laid out for us. And I'm pretty sure that we mulched every single building they had there at Potter's. And these young men, they followed that van around all day long throwing mulch off there and did a great job with that. Again, we got to paint swing sets and do all kind of things like that, and I thought that was good. They had some little playground equipment that we were able to paint and kind of refurbish. We changed the oil in the merry-go-round, which I thought was needed. No, we broke all the wood off of it, and they cut new wood for it and painted it. And you can see in there, I thought it was kind of neat, you can see this is the before we did it, and there were some handprints on there. So all of our kids went back, and they painted their handprints on there, and I thought that was kind of neat to be able to do that. There was a huge slab of concrete there, and you could see this. And so they had a little bobcat over there and had a couple guys with sledgehammers and picks, and they basically tore all that concrete up and busted it out. And you can see the finished product. They brought dirt back into it and are going to sow some grass in there, I guess, to make that look better again. But that was a pretty good-sized job to do there and very labor-intensive. Pressure washed the patio in some of the houses. So you can see Peyton doing that and pressure washing, and I know he had a blast doing that. We trimmed all kind of things there, too. They had tons of bushes and things like that, and there's a couple of girls who were able to do some of that work, and Christian here trimming hedges and just doing, like I said, just some of the things that I guess would just seem like just normal things to do, but a lot of things that they don't really have time to do sometimes. And so this was probably one of the worst jobs I think you'd have done. I was really thankful for this group, but in the foster care house, they want us to rip all the wallpaper off of the walls in the kitchen. And I've pulled enough wallpaper off of walls to know that that's not the funnest thing in the world to do. too. So I really appreciate this group doing that, and you can tell they probably had more fun than they should have doing that. Potter's a pretty good-sized place, and so we had several guys who walked around with trash bags that day, and they just picked up trash all over the facility, and that was a pretty lengthy job as well just because of the size of the facility. But this is something neat. They have basically, I guess the way that I would say is like a glorified yard sale almost that they do every Tuesday. And they said that a lot of times from the Tuesday yard sales they do, they'll get anywhere from $1,500 to about $2,500 out of those yard sales. And the items they have basically come from things that are donated and things that they've collected. And they'll sell them, and of course that money goes to trying to help them do their ministry there. And so we spent a great deal of time trying to help them sort through all that. If you've ever helped with giveaway day, you kind of understand what it's like to have a lot of stuff that's donated and try to sort through it and make sense of it. And so we spent a lot of time doing that. I'm not sure how that got in there. Here you can see this was their truck that they had, and we were able to take this truck around, and there were several different families who donated some things while we were there, and so we took this truck and we'd go to their houses and we'd load up furniture out of their house and we'd take it back, and it was amazing to see the stuff that's donated to them, and so we were thankful to have the opportunity to do that. There were several little fences around there we had the opportunity to put some stain on and take care of that, which again, like I said, we slapped a lot of paint. If any of your kids still have paint on them, I'm sorry for that. But yeah, we slapped a lot of paint while we were there, and I thought that was really great. All this was accomplished basically in one day at Potter's. We did everything that you saw on that list in one day. And I wanted to show you some of these pictures so you can get an idea of some of the jobs that we did so that you would understand that there was a lot of work going into those things. Now, here's the amazing part. On Thursday at Happy Haven and also on Friday at Potter's, we ran out of things to do. I mean, we literally finished all the jobs they'd asked us to do, and we started looking for jobs. And it truly amazed me to see the effort that everyone put into it and how hard everyone worked. All in all, we had 53 adults and teenagers who went on the trip with us, and I thought that was a great-sized group. And we had a good balance, too, of adults who were willing to go and work and to be that example and the kids that followed suit with that, and so I thought that was great. But again, they worked so hard, and the people at Happy Haven and Potter's both bragged on our group several times about how hard they worked and how they were focused on getting the jobs done. And so I just tell you that to say that if you see any of these young people, I want to encourage you to encourage them, to tell them how proud you are of the work that they did, because there's a lot of other things we could have done that week. But they all gave a lot of their time and could have just went and kind of relaxed, but they did, and they worked, and they sweated, and they did a lot. These are two of the places that Graymere supports. I just want to throw this in here. Graymere has a lot of mission points. That's one of the things that really I've always thought was awesome about Graymere, to see the mission works that we're involved in. And so I just want to encourage you, these are two places that Graymere helps support. And they're really close. You can be at either one of these places in about an hour and a half. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've not got to go on a trip like this or do something, to take advantage of that, to get involved in one of the works that Graymere is supporting. I think it's if you ever want to go on a youth trip, I promise you that we can use you and that we can work you and that you'll be blessed because of it. And so I just want to encourage you in that. These are places that are close, and I know Happy Haven, anything you wanted to come and do, they would welcome that. And I know that we've talked about maybe some adults going up at a later time and trying to finish some of the jobs and do some things there. So if you're interested in that at all, please just let myself or Jonathan know. And like I said, we would love to see more people get involved in some of these works. There's a group that's going to Panama in October. There'll be groups going on mission trips next year. If you've never had the opportunity to do something like this, I encourage you to do so, and I promise you, your life will be blessed because of it. So I told you coming into this, I'd ask those young men just to leave a few thoughts with you that really touched them about the mission trip. And so as we close tonight, I just want to do the same thing and just tell you some of the things that I found encouraging and some of the things I want to share with you that I've learned over and over and over again doing mission work and doing those things. And the first one is simply this. These are the three biggest lessons. I would say be an encourager. This is one of the young men at Potter's, and he was encouraging Mason Gallagher here because Mason was hot and he poured some water on him, which I thought was really sweet. Be an encourager. You know, I've always thought that encouragement is one of the greatest things that we can do for people. It's something that sometimes we struggle so much to do, that encouragement doesn't take a lot from us. But yet it's so valuable. If you would, flip your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And this is a passage that I'm sure we all know. It's something we've studied and we've heard, and we've heard sermons preached on this. And we know that Barnabas was the great encourager. But I just want to point something out here. If you look in Acts 15, verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them and Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. You know, we read that passage and I always thought that was interesting. See, they had such a sharp disagreement. They didn't want to take Mark because he had deserted them earlier. We don't know exactly why he deserted them. There's a lot of reasons that we believe that he deserted them, but we don't know exactly why. But obviously Paul was just kind of done with him. You know, Paul thought he deserted us once. I'm just kind of done with him. I don't want to go through this again. But Barnabas insisted upon taking him. Now here's what I find interesting about that. If you flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, flip there with me real quick. Second Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 11. This is Paul writing this. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with me because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Now something obviously changed. You know, Paul obviously had a change of heart at some point during that because now he sees Mark as being helpful to him in his ministry. And I have to believe some part of that, would Paul ever been able to view Mark in that way had Barnabas not given him a chance to prove himself, not encouraged him to go on that work and continue in that work. And I just see that story and I think, man, you know, what a difference that you and I can make, not just for teenagers, but for anybody, if we just encourage them to do the work of the Lord. Encouragement doesn't take a lot. It could be in the form of a note. It could be in the form of just paying someone a compliment or telling them to do a good job. There's a lot of ways to encourage people. And the bottom line is, I think it's one of the easiest things that we can do in the church because it requires very little from us. And so I just want to, that one thought always rings true in me. I know Fred did a lesson while we were there that week, and he made the statement basically. He said, you know, we come here and we do these works. One of the greatest things that we do is we encourage the people who are here. When you go to Happy Haven and you have those house parents who are sacrificing so much just so they can spend time with those girls and try to help them get their lives on the right track, they're sacrificing a lot. And so if we can go there and support that work and encourage them, that could possibly be one of the most important things that we were able to do throughout the week there. And so encouragement is something that I think is so very important. The second thing is simply this. I think that we should always never be afraid. We should never be afraid to get our hands dirty. Now, I'm going to change this a little bit and say, in Fred Porter's case, you should never be afraid to get your hair messed up. I'll kind of go on a side note here. It was so funny. We were there, and I tell you, I hope that every mission team has a Fred Porter on their team because it was so funny. All those rocks you saw, there was not many of those rocks that Fred Porter didn't have his hands on. He worked both days down there in the rocks and moving those rocks around, and it was so funny because on Thursday he came up for lunch, and I can't remember who the girl was, but she came over and she said, "Chris, Mr. Fred's hair's messed up. I've never seen it like that before. I've never seen his hair messed up before." So we gave Fred a hard time about that, but we're so thankful. Because it was funny, the kids may have noticed and picked on Fred for his hair being messed up, but what else they noticed was the fact that he was down there every day moving those rocks. He was down there every day giving them that example and leading them in that. And I've always believed that you really can't ask something of someone that you're not willing to do yourself. And seeing him set that example, he wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. He wasn't afraid to get in there and do that. And we had so many adults who did the same thing in that. If you think about it, in Acts chapter 10, we read about Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, and we read that she did a lot of kind things for people. She made robes, and she made clothes, and she was constantly doing things with her hands. And then we see that once she dies, there's like this great group of people that gathers around her, and they're all sad because of this. And we see all the lives that she touched because she wasn't afraid to get her hands dirty. She wasn't afraid to get in there and do some of what we may think are the simple things, but to be that example. And seeing that example in the Bible really stresses to me that we should never be afraid to get in there and do things that seem difficult sometimes. Do the things that may not seem like they're that big of a deal. But by leading in that example, not being afraid to get our hands dirty, being afraid to do whatever we can. And I was thankful that Fred set that example on that trip for us. And the last point I want to make tonight, just really simple, is that we all need to be willing to give what we have. Give what we have. I don't really know what this trip would have been like without Matt Bowling. I tell you one thing I've come to learn about Matt, and that is Matt knows a little bit about everything, I think. It was amazing to see the skill that he had in doing some of the things while we were there and the know-how that went into it. And you can see here, this is Matt and Stephen Sags were kind of making sure the measurements were good on the dumpster pad there. But what else you'll notice in this, Matt is using his skill to make sure everything was level, but you also have Stephen here who's smiling. He's holding the tape measure, and he's making it look good. holding that tape measure there. And what's amazing is, now don't get me wrong, Stephen has tons of skill as well. But it's amazing to see that sometimes you need somebody who's got the skill and know how to do things, and sometimes you need someone just to help out wherever it's needed. Every time I would walk by this scene and I would ask Stephen, I'd say, Stephen, what are you doing? He said, whatever Matt's telling me to do. And was happy to do it. And I was thinking about, as I was noticing that situation, about the fact that most of those who were on the trip were just willing to give what they had. Some people had knowledge of how to do things. Some people knew how to take measurements and how to do this or that. And some of the people we had may not have the know-how to do that, but they said, hey, I'm willing to do whatever. Just tell me. I can move this. I can move that. No matter how glorious the job may be, I'm willing to do it. And, of course, this thought comes from Acts chapter 3. If you would flip back to Acts chapter 3 for 1 second. I've always loved this passage of Scripture just because of this. We know that Peter and John are walking by the gate, and there's a crippled beggar there that we read about. And basically, you know, we know that he's been crippled since birth, and he's sitting there, and everybody knows who he is. And as he walks by, he thinks that Peter and John are fixing to give him something. He thinks he's going to get some money from them. And so we look in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. We read that this is what Peter basically says to him. He says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. That passage has always really just resonated in my mind to think about that fact that you just think about your own life. You know, what do you have to give? Some of us in this congregation, we may have great wealth, and we could financially help somebody. And a lot of us in this congregation would do that. Some of us here, we may not have wealth at all. We may do good just to pay our own bills. And that's not something we can do. But what can you do? You know, do you have a good strong back? Can you write someone an encouraging card? You know, sometimes we see that giving in that perspective always has to do with trying to give money or do those things. There's so many other things that we can give. I think one of the most precious things that we can give is just simply our time, to give someone our time, to encourage people again. And so on that trip, that's one of the things I thought was amazing to see the different people that went. We had such a diversity of people that went from all age groups. And it was amazing to see that everyone just simply gave what they had to give. No matter what that was, I think it's encouraging to me to see that no matter what you have to give, God can use that. Whether it's skill, whether it's money, whether it's just the willingness, God can use that. And God needs that in the kingdom. And that's something I think that should encourage us all in trying to do a ministry and trying to do a good work. He just simply wants us to give what we have in our lives. And so I'm thankful for everyone who went on the trip, and I hope I haven't bored you with pictures and things of that nature, but I wanted to share with you the work that we did and just encourage you by showing you what our young people were able to accomplish and the encouragement they were able to give and the work they were able to do. And we look forward to being able to do a trip next year and to go somewhere and to be able to benefit someone and encourage them in the same way. And so I am thankful for that. And I just want to tell you that I hope you'll encourage our young people in the work that they're doing. They are a great, great group, and they work so hard, and they love the Lord, and I'm thankful for that so very much. So tonight I just want to close simply by just asking you the three questions that we've kind of went over. And I just want you just to stop and think about some of these things in your own life. Not just in mission work, but just in the mission that you have as a Christian each and every day. You know, I'm convinced that a lot of times we think of mission work, we think about going on a trip, which is always a great thing to do. But I think that we also should live a mission every day, and that mission should be to spread the gospel and tell people about Jesus. So I just want to ask you these three questions as we close. Are you making an effort to be an encourager? Right here where you are, at the Graymere Church of Christ, or where you work, or wherever you are you making an effort to be an encourager? Are you encouraging people to be Christians, to be better Christians, to know Jesus? Are you encouraging them in their life? Are you willing to get your hands dirty on a daily basis by doing the Lord's work? You know, there are opportunities that you may see each and every day that you can do to encourage others or to help someone, to benefit them, and it may require you to get your hands dirty. It may be a job that doesn't seem that glorious. It may be a job that if you do, they're not even going to notice it. You're not going to get a pat on the back for it, but are you willing to do those things anyway so that it benefits someone else? And are you willing to give what you have? No matter what you have in your life, whether it's a skill set, whether it's the stuff that you have, whatever it is, God can use that. God can use that if we're willing to give what we have. Each of us tonight may have different needs. We may have different thoughts on our minds. We may have different struggles. But my prayer is that when you see a group of young people who are willing to load up and to go work and to give what they have and to do these things to encourage other people, that it might encourage us to want to do likewise. I love seeing young people set an example. And ours have done that for us. And I pray that each of us might strive to follow that example so that the gospel can be preached and that someone else may come to know Jesus. If you have a need tonight, if there's anything that we can do to help you and encourage you, then we want to do that. All you have to do is just come forward as we stand and sing tonight.